Last week, we started looking at being spiritually healthy. I laid the foundation, if you like, about keeping ourselves spiritually fit. And we're going to look at the next thought, really, about what that looks like and how we can become more spiritually fit. I don't know about you, but very often at the beginning of a new year, I don't really think about going on a diet, but I do think about trying to get myself fitter. It doesn't usually last too long, and then I'm back to the norm of doing what I do. But I don't want to just think about my physical fitness. I want to think about my spiritual fitness. And as your pastor, I'm more concerned about your spiritual fitness rather than how muscly you are or how long you can plank on the floor for and all the things that you do and your 5-minute miles and all the rest of it. They're great, but it's your spiritual fitness that matters most to me. So I really want us to consider today our heart health. Now, like I say, I got one of these for my birthday, for my 60th. My children want me around for a long time. They got me a fitness bike. So I thought, okay, let me read the instructions as I put it together. I thought, at least they could have put it together for me, but they didn't. So I started reading the instructions and got really confused. I thought, some people can read instructions and they make sense. I look at them and I think, this is like a puzzle. And I'm struggling to make head or tail of it. Anyway, I got to page 3, all right, and it says this. Before beginning any exercise program, consult your doctor. Especially if you're over 35. Honestly, it says it. If you're over 35, you must read all the instructions on the fitness equipment before you start. Well, I haven't done that yet. I've just got on the bike and I've just done a few laps around the office. Did you laugh? So whenever you start a fitness program, they say, so if you wanted to do aerobics here, we've got a gym class starting here in the community hall. Zumba class. So we're not us personally, we're not doing it, but there's a Zumba class that's coming. Not us personally, sorry. Let me clarify. Anybody that would like to teach Zumba, feel free, all right? And it's not me. Anyway, let me get back to my sermon, all right? Forget Zumba, we haven't got Zumba coming. We have, but what was I saying? I don't know why. Heart health. So, yeah, before any exercise program, we've got to check out our heart health. So I really want to encourage us to consider our heart this morning because we are going on a fitness program, a spiritual. So I want you to be honest with yourself and check out your heart as we go through the word today. Where is my heart in this? Where am I in my fitness level with God in this part of the journey? Because I think it's really important that we examine ourselves and consider our spiritual health from time to time. A health check in our spiritual realm. Because our spiritual health or our spiritual fitness is directly connected to our daily disciplines and spiritual practices. You know, we're going to look at some of those in the next couple of weeks, but, you know, just right now in your life, do you feel spiritually alive, spiritually healthy? So you can go through some of the hardest moments in your life, but actually in that you've drawn closer to God, and because you've drawn closer to Him, there is a heart health regardless of the storm that may be going on around you. So life isn't necessarily geared or this level of your spiritual health isn't related to the pressure that may be around your life. Is how well you're doing on the inside, what draws you closer to Him in the journey of your life. Spiritual fitness on the inside starts with heart. Just like this has to start with my heart condition before I really start working out on the machine. So I really want to encourage us as we go through these things this morning that we surrender to the inner coach. The inner coach being the Holy Spirit, who when you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, He comes in to dwell with you. The Bible says he who is joined to the Lord is becomes one spirit with him. So when we give our lives to Jesus, we become one spirit with the Lord. Also, he has sealed us for our salvation. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, I think it is, it says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. So there is a significant move of God upon our life when we first get saved. So we have the inner coach now living on the inside. I want us to draw on him more and more, listening to the voice of the coach, following his instructions. You know, there's no point me jumping on the bike and not really reading the instructions. You know, I don't know how many pages. It's a 24-page manual, and most of that is instruction of how I ought to be fit and how I ought to use the machine. But this instruction manual is a little bit bigger. A few more pages than 24. But it is the instruction manual to our life of how we remain spiritually fit. And as we allow the Holy Spirit and as we allow the Word of God to reveal truth to us, health, a healthy heart is the byproduct. A healthy heart will be a part of our journey. When you've got a healthy heart, I remember an old lady, she went, I think she was in the late 70s, possibly mid 80s, Ruth Payton, those would remember her, Margaret Payton, she was an older lady. She went to the doctors because she was beginning to experience some issues at the time, and they examined her heart, amongst other things, and they said, you've got a heart of a 30-year-old, I think it was, a 40-year-old, Jane's got a better memory, 40-year-old, and she was in her late 70s, early 80s, because she walked everywhere. But her spiritual heart, if you like, the inner person, was just so close to God and walked closely with him and just had a beauty from within that was just a blessing to all those around her. And I think that's something that we can all carry in our lives, heart health. So let's go to the scripture that we used last week. Like I say, the Message translation isn't my go-to translation, but it does read well in this particular scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, you've been raised on the message of faith and have followed sound teaching. Now, I think that's pretty much all of us in the room. We've been raised on the message of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whatsoever isn't of faith is sin. So we need to, the just shall walk by faith. So faith is a real element of our journey. And you have followed sound teaching. And then Paul says to Timothy, who's the pastor in the church of Ephesus, he said, now pass on this counsel to the followers of Jesus there. And you will be a good servant of Jesus. Stay clear of silly stories that get dressed up as religion. Exercise daily in God. No spiritual flabbiness, please. Workouts in the gym or the gymnasium are useful, but a disciplined life in God is far more so, making you fit both today and forever. So exercise daily in God. That's the key, because we can all go to the gym and we can all work out in the gym. Great. You have physical outlook. Great. But it is the internal. Exercise daily in God. Now, I found some research, okay? It's research from Christianity Today and Barna Research. Here's a few facts that they've come back with in one of their researches. They said this. Most Christians don't feel like they know the Bible very well. Most don't pray unless they really need something. Most don't persevere through tough times well. Most don't make disciples or even know how to. Most don't understand that they are stewards of God's blessings. Now, to me, they are sad facts that reveal an unhealthy and spiritually unfit church, that they don't know how to use God's word in their life. They don't know it. It's not familiar. It's not their go-to in life. They don't know how to pray unless they really need something. They don't pray for their neighbor or a difficult situation or a workplace colleague. It's only when I really need something that they go and pray. Now, examine your heart, and I'm not throwing stones at anybody in the room, all right? Examine your heart. Is that a picture of the condition of our journey, of our heart, or are we a little bit more fitter than that? But that is research through Christianity Today and Barna Research. And to me, that reveals a condition in the heart. You know, I, with a crowd as many as there are in the room, there's probably people in this room who have had a heart condition or have had to go and have a heart checkup because of a possible heart condition. If Dave was here a number of years ago, Dave had a quadruple heart bypass operation with all four valves. And it's like that was huge in his life. But those facts show a church that has a heart condition. And do you know what? There are many people in this world who are walking around with heart conditions and they don't realize they have it. It's only when they go to a hospital or a doctor and they say, oh, I've got this problem, and they do a heart checkup and they say, oh, do you realize that you had a heart attack back then? And you know nothing about it. Or that you've had a heart murmur all your life and you knew nothing about it. And all of a sudden, what was there begins to come out, but it has always been a condition. I want to put to you this morning that as Christians, we carry stuff in our life that is causing heart conditions. And we're going to get to that in a minute, but I want to share this scripture with you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says this: therefore, since you are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We're talking about spiritual fitness, and here the Bible, potentially, if it's the Apostle Paul who wrote the book of Hebrews, nobody actually knows, but if it was the Apostle Paul or whoever, is saying we're in a race. We are all running our own race. We're all in our lane. We're all following the plan of God for our life, but there are things that come into our life that are called weights or sins. Now, we're all familiar with the sins, those things that we think, oh, I wish I'd never done that, I wish I'd never behaved in that way, wish I'd never gone down that path. But some of the weights in our life are the things that are slowing us down. And I've got Wilberforce to come and help me. Young, fit and healthy Wilberforce. So Wilberforce, this one for you. If you can, there we go. Is that fit? Is that okay? Is that good? Yeah, no other straps are there, no? You're good? Fantastic. So, Wilberforce is just another human being like us all, okay? Just going through life, doing life. These are just some of the weights I lift at home that aren't particularly very heavy. This is one of the biggest issues in our life, and it's called unforgiveness. And at some point, all of us in life have had people that we've struggled to forgive. I'll never forgive them for what they did to me. Oh, I don't know if I can put this in your back. There we go, it's in. No, we're good. I'll never forgive them. I'll never walk away. I'll never forgive. And hey, that's not too bad, is it? It's not too bad at all. But if you were running and living with that on your back day after day, just carrying the issue, just one issue, it has an effect because you're not as effective as you were. The next one would be holding a grudge. See, very often when you're not forgiving, you begin then to hold a grudge against that person. They get easier. I did say these are my weights, right? See, this one's really easy. So this is a tiny one, so you can handle this one. It probably doesn't even feel like it's changed the weight at all. But we all hold grudges at times. You know, whether that's the person when you're paying for the car, paying for your petrol in your car, and they just, someone cuts you up and you have a bit of a grudge, or put someone at work, an issue, someone at work, they park in your car parking space every day and it just begins to get at you because I've always parked there. Or in church, I've always sat there and you've got a grudge against them. Because having a grudge leads to having a bad attitude, doesn't it? You know, let me just, this is another little easy one. See, all these little easy ones. So now he's beginning to lean. So a bad attitude. You know, I'm not going to speak to them anymore. I'm done. See, that can happen with family members. Can happen with church members. Can happen with work colleagues. Can happen with neighbours. You begin to talk about the neighbour to everybody else. They're the neighbour from hell. Yeah, you're supposed to be praying for them into the kingdom. Yeah. Anyway, I won't keep you there too long. Oh, let me go for another light one. There we go. You doing okay?
Yeah.
Good. He's a physical trainer in the army, as well as a medic. Yeah. So, unforgiveness, holding a grudge, having a bad attitude, bitterness. Begin to get bitter. You know, I think it's medical science that says that bitterness is often linked to arthritis. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? Because it's something deep within. It's a deep-seated attitude that then we carry, and it's a bitterness. And we all carry things. Let me carry on. Oh, being judgmental. No. Let me explain. Jesus said, don't try and remove the speck in somebody else's eye when you have a plank in your own. So that, where's it going? You hold it about there. Okay, that's good. Because when Jesus was teaching about the plank and the splinter, I don't believe Jesus just talked to the crowd. I don't believe he just sort of, I believe he went along, found a piece of branch and picked it up and said, and he's walking around. He's walking around with this branch in his eye. You know what, can I take the speck out of yours? And that's how Jesus taught. Why? Because it caused people to remember. 2,000 years later, we still, that's not in your eye. 2,000 years later, that's the whole point. So are you being judgmental to other people? Are you judging them when actually you're pointing the finger that way and there's still a few fingers pointing towards you? You're trying to point out their issues when actually, how many of you know we've all got them? We all have issues. But it's easier to point out somebody else's than it is to acknowledge your own. How about pride? Oh yeah, that comes along, doesn't it?
Yeah.
These are my running weights. They're nice and light. These. Second. I did on that one. So now we've got, where were we? Pride. It's their fault. They can sort it out. They can, if they want to sort this situation, let them come to me. That's not being humble. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. If we want to deal with pride, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to take responsibility. We've got to go the extra mile. We've got to go there and say, look, you don't go and say, I know it's not my fault, but I'm saying sorry anyway. That's not what it's about. Humbling yourself is, I humble myself before God and I'm apologizing for everything that I may have done in this situation. Husbands and wives, well done. Husbands and wives. Worry and anxiety. That can be an issue because then you begin to worry about all the issues that you've been dealing with and the pride and the bitterness and, oh, let me go for one of these. They're getting smaller. It's all right, he's in the army. You do. UK?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. 10 laps. No, in a minute. So we got the worry and the anxiety. Do you know what worry and anxiety cause? Ulcers. So now you're starting, you've got all these heart issues because these are all issues of the heart. You realize that, don't you? They are all issues of the heart. Every one of these. Fear. Sorry, I'm not giving you another one for fear. Let me give you another one for fear. I'll move these along quite quickly now, I guess. Fear. And then it becomes an issue with the heart. You begin to become arrogant. You carry an issue in your heart that it's everyone else is wrong. I'm not. And there's an arrogance that begins to affect the heart of our life. And then an unteachable spirit. Oh, did you hear that noise as I bent down to pick that up? Oh, I'm pleased I'm not carrying this. Like, many years ago, I did this. Now I've switched roles because I'm older. So there's an unteachable spirit. Someone comes to you. Wilberforce, don't you think you ought to sort of deal with some of the issues of your heart? And you have an unteachable spirit, and you say, it's not me, it's everybody else.
Their fault.
It's their fault, yes, there we go. And then the worst of the worst. In the eye, please. How many of you know carrying offense is not healthy? So, if we now can do 10 laps, and so many of us, so many of us are carrying issues of the heart. Thank you, Wilberforce. Let me take that one first. They were genuine weights. Thank you, Wilberforce. See, they may not all be sins, but they are issues of the heart. They are weights. And if we began to go around from Davina all the way around the room to Danny, do you know what? Every one of us would have a heart issue somewhere in our life. Even if it goes back 30 years, 60 years, 6 weeks, we all carry stuff. And I tell you what, we need to have a health check so that we can deal with the heart issues so that we can be spiritually fit. Because every one of those things will cause you not to be as spiritually fit as God wants you to be. Heart health is an important factor in the natural, but it's more important in the spiritual. You don't want heart health to cut your life short, but it could. In Proverbs, let's read about the heart. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. It says this, "My son, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn." Now, I looked at that and I thought, that sounds like the coach speaking to the student or to the person he's training. You know, my son, listen, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. So when the coach is saying, start slower and build up your pace. In other words, pay attention to my words and be willing to learn. I can see how you will win this race. Start slowly, finish with a kick. It may be different, you know, if it's a boxing one, just hold back on your punches before you let loose at the end of the round. Before the clapper goes, that's when you loose, that's when you start laying in. On Formula One, pace yourself around the first bend, because that's the dodgy one. Watch out for the hairpin, and then open up in the straight. The coach, there is a coach for every scenario in life. And the Holy Spirit, the inner voice of our heart, he is the one who will coach us. And he says, be willing to learn. Goes on and says, open up your ears to my saying, and do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them at the center of your heart. Heart health. For they are life to those who find them, and healing and health to all their flesh. The Bible, unless you study it and look for it, you may just read it and miss it completely. But he's saying, deal with the conditions that are in you so that you will be healed and whole. Verse 23 says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful, lying, misleading mouth, and put devious lips far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead towards the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you towards the path of integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and your ways will be steadfast and sure. Do not turn away to the right or to the left where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. I think it's just really encouraging that the Word of God really helps us on our journey. Yes, it's funny watching Wilberforce sort of laden down. But the truth is, the Bible's very clear. Heart health, deal with the issues. Don't just pretend they don't exist. Don't think just because they're not the focus of your attention today that they won't be tomorrow. We need to deal with stuff so that we grow in heart health. These are significant words from Solomon. When you think Solomon was the wisest, supposedly the wisest man of all who was on the earth, and they are his words to you and I. Get healthy hearted in your life. So when life's pressures are on, what do we do? Do we walk towards God? Do we listen to what God is saying? Or do we do our own thing? I want to encourage you, when pressure is on in your life, that you don't run from God, you run to him. That you don't hide yourself away like a Jonah. When God called Jonah to Nineveh, he ran from God rather than running to what God had called him to do. I really want us to encourage us to run toward God. He is the ever-present coach. He is living and leading from within. I tell you what, how much better would life be if we incline our ear to his sayings and we do them and we outwork them in our life. When we are walking with the inner coach, when we are weak, the Bible says he is strong. That's those moments when, you know, if we've got our heart right and we're feeling weak in the pressure of the moment of time, we lean into him and he reveals himself strong. When we feel weak, he is strong. He is the ever-present coach. His grace is more than enough. His love toward us is beyond measure. So leaning into the coach for our life has always got your best at heart. The Holy Spirit has got your best. He has your best interest. He has the best plan. And if we lean towards him, he will keep us on track. God knows the track or the line, the lane that you're meant to be in. You know, the Bible's very clear. There is a wide path that leads to destruction. There is a narrow path that leads to life. The Holy Spirit wants to keep us on that narrow path. Sometimes our flesh wants to take us elsewhere. Our attitudes wants to get our own back. That's not a narrow path. That's a broad path attitude. Staying on the narrow path is defined by the fruit of the Spirit in our life of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, self-control. That's probably more than enough, several different versions. But if we're walking on that narrow path, the fruit of the Spirit will determine whether you're stepping off that path or you're staying on it. It's the gauge in which we live by. The Holy Spirit wants us to be on the right track so that we win the prize that he has for us. You know, you may never really think, I don't really ever think of getting to heaven and obtaining my prize or the crown that's set for me. I don't ever think about it. My head's down and focused here on earth. It's about what happens here on earth. But actually, what is happening here on earth is having a divine effect in heaven. When we get there one day, the Bible is very clear, there will be blessings and things that are handed out and the well done, good and faithful servant and all the things. I don't know what it's going to be feeling like. I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be absolutely immense. But Paul the apostle, had a glimpse of heaven and knew why he was on track, why he stayed focused, and why he continued to the end. And let's read it. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8, it says this. And his life is coming to the end. He knows that his life is about to be taken from him. He's written so much of the Bible, the New Testament, at this point in time. He's had a radical conversion moment. You know, he fought against Christianity. He got Christians killed and executed for their belief. And then he has an encounter with God that literally blows him off his horse. And then God speaks to him. Jesus speaks to him personally and says, you are going to take the gospel to the Gentiles, which he did. Absolutely incredible moment in his life. But now his life is about to be taken from him, and he's about to be martyred for the very thing that he believes. And then he turns around again to Timothy. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Come on, there is a crown that is awaiting you. There is a crown that he is going to present to you on that day. The key, I've fought the good fight. I have kept the faith. I've finished my race, the race that was set before me. I've finished it. I can see the finishing line. For those in the room who are 80s and plus, you know there's a finishing line somewhere. You don't know if it's the next 10 years, 15 years, but you know that there's a finishing line. I want to encourage you who are over 80, run that race to the very end and give it all you have. You say, oh, but I don't have the strength that I used to. No, but you can pray. You can stand and protect and stand and pray over the kids in the church and pray over nations and pray until the day the Lord takes you home. I tell you what, there is no spare part in the kingdom of God. There is no one who retires in the house of God. We just keep doing, but in a different way. We keep seeking God. We keep walking with him. And here Paul says, I've finished the good fight. Let me tell you, you are in a good fight. You're not in a fight that you lose. You're in a fight that you win. Isn't that good news? I'll tell you what, there's been some fights that we've been through, and we not me and Jane. We've been through some fuffing. There's been some fights as a couple that we've been in when we saw no way out, no change in the circumstances, but we stood in the ring. Because the Bible says, having done all to stand, stand. When you know nothing else of what to do, you stand doing the same thing over and over again, declaring, praying, because having done all to stand, you will be found standing, and the enemy and the problem and the circumstances that you're fighting against will fall away. Because God knows how to turn all things around for the good of those who love him and accord according to his purpose. The Apostle Paul knew that as a truth. He's the one the Holy Spirit spoke through and wrote those words in the book of Romans. And he said, there is laid up for me a crown. One day, everyone in this room, you're going to get your crown. If you faint not in this journey, just keep pursuing him with everything that's within you. Laying aside the weight, laying aside the issues, laying aside, hold short accounts of wrongs. Deal with it so that your heart is healed and healthy in the things of God. And I want to finish with this last scripture. You may never have allowed or accepted the inner coach into your life. You know, many of us in the room, you've been walking with the Lord and he is your inner coach, but you don't even acknowledge him like that. He's the third person of the Trinity, absolutely. But the third person of the Trinity is now living in you. That's mind-blowing. The God who created everything said, I'm going to take up residence in Amy. It's just mind-blowing, isn't it? Don't you think that's just... Doesn't that blow your mind? It just... Awe. I'm in awe that he would look at me and say, I've made you worthy to take up residence in you. It's just amazing. And because he's in me, there's a scripture that says he always leads us into triumph. He always. It's not now and again. If you've not seen triumph in a situation you're believing for, don't give up. Which means if you're in triumph, you get to the finishing line first. But it may be that you feel like you're the last in the race at the moment. Don't give up. Because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all you can ask or imagine, according to the power that works in us, the presence of God. Him who's in us, he gives us the power to still come first, even though we may have been last. Don't give up. So Romans 10:9 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. How do I confess with my mouth? We're going to do a prayer at the end of the service. That's you confessing with your mouth that the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. So this morning as we finish, I'm going to pray this simple prayer. And I know several people over the last couple of weeks have prayed this prayer, and it's just a joy. Because the moment you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he's there to stay. Because he loves you, he saved you, and he's not going to leave you. But if you're here this morning and you've never prayed that prayer before, God is here to meet you for the first time. And the Bible says that he will be the trainer or the pastorlet, the one who draws near to you in the journey of your life. So let's pray this together. Father God, I come to you this morning and I thank you. You sent Jesus to take my sin on the cross 2,000 years ago. Today, I receive him into my life to be my Lord and Savior. Save me, Lord. Forgive me. Give me a brand new start. Put me on the track of my life that I may run for you. In Jesus' name, amen. While every head is bowed and every eye closed, today you may have prayed that for the first time. Today you may be saying, I'm getting on the track and nothing's going to move me anymore. If you prayed that prayer this morning, you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to pop up your hand. One, two, three. If you prayed that this morning, just give me a wave. Just acknowledge that. Thank you. I see your hands. That's awesome. Is there anybody else in the room? You say, yeah, that's me. Is there anybody else? I'm going to include in this moment also, let's be real before God in your life. If you've been carrying a heart issue, one of those things that went into Wilberforce's back, if you've been carrying any of those areas, and you realize today that actually it's been slowing you down, it's been hindering your walk, you've had a heart issue with somebody else, I want you quietly, between you and God, just to confess that before him. And I want to pray for you this morning as well. Just going to give you a moment. Father, right across this room as we do business with you, Lord, we don't want to carry anything in our life that we shouldn't be carrying. And we truly do confess it before you and we say, Lord, come and deal with our heart that we would be free from those issues. Help me to forgive. Help me to deal with the issues that I'm carrying. Help me to be free. You said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So Holy Spirit, as we're open and honest before you in this room this morning, I thank you that you come, you not only highlight, but you deal with the issues, that we truly would be people that are free. Free from the past. Free from the pain. Free from those hurts. Lord God, we just present it to you. We say, Lord, take it. Take it from my heart that I may walk free in you this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Fantastic. So we've done the foundation. Now we've done some heart health. Next week, you ready? We'll start the burpees or whatever they are. Burpees? Yeah, no, we ain't doing burpees. We'll start doing some spiritual exercise stuff next week, all right? So feel free to help yourself to drink and refreshments. And we'll